This is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. Psychologists and neurobiologists are constantly learning more and more about how our brains process information and also art. Now the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem is breaking new ground by hiring a neurobiologist to help them enhance their exhibits. Teddy Asher is that neurobiologist, and Dan Monroe is director and CEO of Peabody Essex Museum. Dan, what prompted you to seek out a neurobiologist, and what are you hoping to get out of this?
Essentially, the idea is very, very straightforward, actually. At PAM, we work to create experiences of art and culture and creative expression in many forms that transform people's lives. That can happen many, many different ways, but certainly we're very interested in and believe that and see art transforming people's lives and shaping and reshaping their perspectives and broadening and enriching their perspectives of themselves and the world. And so given that mission, we're constantly working to determine how we can create more meaningful, effective, relevant, impactful experiences of art and culture. And the thought came to me, it's blindingly obvious a few years ago, that since all of our experiences are ultimately created in our brains, and since that's true for our experiences of art, it might be a really good idea to better understand how brains work if we want to create more impactful experiences of art. That was the inception.
Teddy, your own research to date has involved animals, not humans, although I guess humans are technically animals, and not necessarily art either. So what drew you to this job?
That's true. So my graduate work was performed with mice. But what drew me to this work was the opportunity to communicate and try and teach science or biology to non-scientists in a really creative way. That was what I was looking for. And when I came across the job ad for the position at PEM, I was really drawn to it, both because of that factor, the opportunity to teach science in a creative fashion, but also I really aligned with the mission of PEM to provide transformative experiences for their viewers.
So the idea here is to apply evidence-based principles of neurobiology to enhance how people interact with the works of art, to ensure that they retain more of what they might learn or get out of their visit. So what kinds of principles are we talking about here?
Well, certainly one of the principles that's really primary in any art museum is, whether it's explicitly recognized or not, is trying to encourage people's attention systems to pay attention to works of art, to interact with them, to think about them. And so just simply taking that attention systems as one of the areas where, at a kind of a top of line level, frankly, I mean, the kind of in-depth research that Dr. Asher was doing on non-human systems was at a very, very different level. But in terms of attention systems, even a fairly basic understanding of attention systems can result in very different kinds of strategies than art museums usually employ.
Teddy, you've been at the museum, as I understand it, about a month and a half. How have you been putting your understanding of neurobiology into practice so far?
So in the last month or so, I've been sitting in on meetings pertaining to exhibition design and observing, you know, the areas of neuroscience that might be applicable to any given exhibition, and then going back and doing some research and some legwork to bring the neuroscience findings into those exhibition meetings.
The museum has already been making some pretty pioneering changes to the way that art is exhibited, not necessarily, you know, there's still stuff hanging on the wall, but kind of the context, what else is going on around the art. Dan, can you talk about some of those things that you've already done?
Well, we've long, as I mentioned earlier, been committed to innovation aimed at creating more meaningful, engaging, compelling, and enriching experiences of art. So going back many years, we, for example, were certainly in the U.S. among the first art museums, if not the first, to not separate contemporary and historical art in galleries. So we integrated contemporary and historical work. And that doesn't sound like really such a huge change, but it certainly wasn't common practice 15 years ago. What we discovered by that, and the intent behind it was very simple. It was to simply give people a chance to see firsthand and think about the connections between the past and the present. And to part of it was a surprise, because normally you don't see contemporary work juxtaposed with historical. What we learned out of that is it was incredibly effective. I mean, people really loved that experience. We've done lots of other work that involves use of multisensory with different kinds of narratives, with moving away from the standard didactic interpretive label. And, you know, there's quite a long list of things that we've worked. And, of course, if you're doing this kind of work, you want to have some idea of, in fact, whether it is helping people see and experience art in new ways. If it is, great. If it isn't, try something else. So evaluation becomes really very, very important in the whole process. So this is kind of the neuroscience initiative is part of a continuum that we've been pushing on. It just is approaching the issues that we've been trying to move forward in terms of visitor experience in a somewhat new and in many ways more grounded way.
Teddy, can you speak to the science of some of the things that Dan is saying there? I mean, this idea of juxtaposing different media, surprising people, what's that going to do to their understanding or their interaction with the art? Is there a possibility that you could actually be distracting people rather than drawing them into the experience more?
Sure. So I think that based on the research that I've done so far, a lot of the sort of experimental changes that PEM has implemented over the last few years make a lot of sense. So let's take the multisensory experience as an example. So the literature, the data in the literature definitely does support the idea that interacting with something with multiple senses helps you to retain information, to learn the information better. And I think that, you know, diving deeper into some of these topics, we can learn even more. Like, it turns out that if you're going to learn something through both auditory stimulation and visual stimulation, it's important that the two experiences are congruent, meaning that they're communicating the same message instead of opposing messages. So as we dive deeper into this, we're getting a more nuanced appreciation for not just what the effect is, but how it works.
Dan, a 2015 study by the National Endowment of Arts found pretty steep declines in museum and gallery visits between 2002 and 2012. Do you think the kind of changes and additions that Teddy might suggest could not only enhance the experience of those who are currently visiting the museum, but actually reverse that trend and draw in new audiences and new visitors?
Well, those statistics are field-wide. They're for all art museums in America. At PEM, our attendance has not moved in that direction at all. It's gone up substantially since 2002. But the bottom line with that statistic is that there is cause for real concern. And I would just say that without going into a lot of detail, I believe that there are several things happening there. One is that you have to look at the larger context of what's happening in our society. We're producing prodigious amounts of information and unprecedented amounts of information, about 2.5 exabytes a day, which would be 250,000 libraries of Congress. Information speeds up cultural change, and it also increases cultural complexity. Currently, the average American is spending 42% of their time, that's 7 hours a day, processing digital information from all sources. That's a complete restructure across American society of the way in which people allocate their time. The upshot of that is that there is a real need to recognize that the competition for time, attention, and energy, all of which are fixed, while the amount of information out there is, in effect, unlimited. And art museums need to be providing experiences that people find gratifying, relevant, in my view, they need to be much more engaging in the sense of helping stimulate individual attention and exploration and discovery. It's a much more active mode of interacting with art than a passive one. And so I think that the answer is, in our view, that yes, certainly this approach is one that we feel can be very, very productive. I think that there are other things that need to be done too. The notion that the core traditional art museum gallery experience is great and is perfect the way it is, I think is just completely undermined as an idea by, unfortunately, by those attendance statistics.
Neurobiology undermining the entire concept of an art exhibit. That's Dan Monroe. He's director and CEO of Peabody Essex Museum. Teddy Asher is their new staff neurobiologist. They joined me via Skype. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.